Welcome back to another episode of the Dat Fitness Business podcast. Tom Blackman with Dan Smith. Hello, Dan.
What's up? What's going on?
Well, we're still waiting, aren't we? Anxiously waiting the arrival of Mini Dan.
Still waiting. Yeah, taking his time.
Nearly a week late.
Yeah, it will be. Tomorrow is going to be a week overdue. But yeah, I don't know. Could be any moment. So I have to go quickly. I'll have to leave. You have to do it on your own, solo.
I suppose it's a temporary good sort of get out of jail free card if you're talking to people you don't really want to talk to. It's like, oh, sorry, I've just got a text. I've got to run off now because my son's been born. And come back, oh, sorry, false alarm.
Yeah.
False alarm.
I'll be doing that when he's 6 months old. Sorry.
Emergency at school. You've got one for 18 years, actually, because anything that you want to get out of, you can just go, oh, I'm really sorry, my son's just been taken ill, I need to go to school or something, pick him up. And like, you know, no one's going to say, no, you can't do that.
Got it, in the bag.
Yeah, that's the best thing about being a parent, that is. Universal get out of jail free card.
Best thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Conversation you don't like, oh, my son's ill, got to go. So today we're talking about client retention and what the best methods for keeping your clients around longer. Now, of course, we don't mean nasty tactics to lock people into contracts or anything like that. We're talking about actual valuable things you can do with your coaching to make sure that your clients want to stay with you for a long period of time and continue to get awesome results. Are you in agreement, Dan?
What do you mean?
Or do you just lock them into contracts?
Is it not the first thing you do? They get the contract comes out and then they sign it and then that's it. They are you own them for however long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that is the ultra pro method, isn't it? Is to is to bind them into a 12-month agreement.
I don't know if you've used contracts and things, but I've never had contracts. Some people might be going, oh my god, but I never have had that, because I don't think that what we do, like in terms of what we provide, is a service. But is it something that you have to bind someone into a contract to? Because I feel if someone's coming to work with you, they're going to have made that decision over a period of time, right? Over, not going to be like suddenly they see, oh, I'm going to go and do that. They're going to have made that period over a period of time, and they're going to have built trust with you, connection, and then that ultimately wants to be the process. If you're having people like buy into things quickly, I don't know if it's a service you're offering, it's probably more of a product, and then maybe there's more potential for some kind of contract there. But even then, I don't think so.
No, I mean, there are people, you know, people might be listening to this going, oh, but there are reasons for having a contract. And yeah, okay, you can understand that. There's a certain argument to say, well, if someone says to you, I want to lose 30 kilos, that's not happening in 4 weeks. You know, that's a 6 month deal, isn't it? It's when I've worked with people who've lost 30 kilos, it's 6 months to almost a year to actually get that weight off and keep it off. So it is, you're looking at a long process, aren't you? You know, it's not a 6 week shred option. So I can understand people saying, well, I've got they want to do this thing and it is a year's thing or 6 month thing. So we should be committing for 6 months. And part of that commitment is to have like, oh, you're going to pay me for 6 months, this much money per month.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, that's not something I subscribe to, but that is the argument, isn't it? It's like, you're making a commitment to make sure you have the, you've got your skin in the game and you've got the legal binding or whatever term people want to use. If you have this contract, then you're going to do the work because you've signed the contract.
Yeah. So say, for example, someone is in that contract and it's 6 months, and on the fifth month, something happens and they say, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I can't make that next payment. It's not going to happen because there's some kind of emergency or whatever's happened, right? I know what your thoughts would be on that, I think. It's like, what would you say to them? Would you just say,
Go and sell your TV and then give me the money. Yeah. Sell your car and then you can pay me with the money. And actually, you'll probably have enough money to sign up for another 6 months up front.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know that sounds mad, but I've seen that in a Facebook group before.
Yeah.
I've seen that actually happen and people commenting on it saying, have they signed the contract? If they have, then they need to pay you the money. But what I don't get there is, one, they're not going to be doing this coaching with you anymore. Okay, you're going to still get the money from them. Two, they're never going to want to do that ever again. And they're never going to tell anyone else. So I don't weigh it up.
I agree with that. This I actually had a guy once who wanted to work with me one to one, and we had a chat. He was fine, happy with the money and everything else. And he sent me a message about a couple of days later, where we were due to start like in a week's time. And he said, "Oh yeah, Tom, sorry for the delay in paying, but I'm just selling my car to do the program, and the guy is not going to turn up for a few days. Is that okay?" I was like, "Don't sell your car to work with me, for God's sake! Don't do that." You know, it was he really wanted to do the program. He really wanted to work with me, but I was like, "Mate, don't sell your car to do that. That's not what I want. I don't want." You not to have a car just so we can work together, save up a bit of money for a couple of months and then we'll do it, but there's other coaches who would go, well, that's unacceptable, get put on your credit card.
Yeah, I was going to say the credit card one. I've definitely had that
whip it out.
People were saying, can I put it on the credit card? And I've gone, I'd rather you didn't, to be fair. I'd rather you take some time, think about if it's really what you want, and I can give you some stuff in the meantime. But I don't want people, I don't want that conscience of like people potentially putting themselves in debt, because it's not.
No.
You said, people were very quick to go, no, you should do whatever you can. You should take out all these credit cards. You should do whatever you need to make it happen. I'm like, well, I don't personally agree with that.
My one-to-one program for physique coaching was over £1,000 for the period. You could pay in installments, of course, and some people did pay on credit card, but I was always very, make sure that's the right decision for you. I mean, obviously they got the result they wanted. They got their transformation, but we had a discussion about that. I said, if you want to put it on credit card and pay it off in longer installments, then that's fine. But I just want you to make sure you're 100% happy with that. Because I don't want you having extra debt on your mind if you haven't got because people buy like TVs on credit cards and stuff like that, and they just pay it off over a couple of months and they're happy doing that. So I'm happy doing that if someone's got the means to pay, like, let's say £100 a month towards that over time, and they're happy doing that. But I don't want people just getting themselves into unnecessary debt because they're chasing this dream of a physique.
Yeah. Because they'll say things, won't they? Like when you dig into it, it's like, oh, I haven't quite got the money right now, but what I'll do is I'll put it on this credit card. And I'm like, well, that's not. But if it's what you said, they're using it because they then pay that off in some other way, then that's fine. I say.
Yeah, I think as ethical coaches, and credit is obviously a reasonable way of paying. Loads of people use credit cards every single day of the week. So we can't say, oh, you shouldn't use a credit card for buying coaching or any product. But a little bit of make sure it's right for them before they do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Not just, get your credit card out right now, and by 12 months instead.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing I've always found. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I've definitely heard it from a few different people. And they say, like, on sales calls, on your calls, the way to get people to commit is at that point of asking, say to them, how do you want to pay, debit or credit card? And then they're like, I get why the psychology there around it, because it's like, how do you want to pay, this way or this way? And you're almost positioning that anyway already. I don't know, maybe that's another talk one day.
That comes from a technique in NLP, because if you didn't know, I'm a qualified NLP practitioner. And it's, I think, I can't remember what they call it, something like a leading question or something like that, but it's the implied choice. Yeah. So it's not, oh, do you want to buy or not? It's, how do you want to pay? So it's like, well, yeah, I know you're going to buy, but how do you want to pay? So it's that little bit of psychology coming into play. So it's quite a typical sales technique. It's like putting the pen on the line, isn't it?
That's it. But there's loads of other ways to increase retention without doing this.
Sure. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, should we do a you go, I go sort of thing? And
tag team.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go first so that I don't run out of ideas. and this is from our experience as coaches, but also how we advise other coaches. So it's from our own personal experience, coaching clients, stuff that's worked for us. What we say might not work for you, but it's something to take on board as an idea. So one thing I did in my coaching program was I always had a change for the client on a cyclical basis. And now this was done a couple of ways. So firstly, we would look at their workouts. So a lot of coaches, what I found was a lot of coaches, when they're programming, we'll just program like push pull legs, and it's like one workout, and then every week, oh yeah, try and put more weight on the bar. And what I found from talking with clients was that that was boring. They didn't like that because it was basically the same exercises every week. Now, I can understand the argument for that, because if you keep doing squats, you'll get better at squats and more efficient doing squats. But what are we trying to do for the client? Are we trying to make them the 100% optimized person, or are we trying to make them enjoy the process while they're doing that, and maybe 99% optimized? So I always had like workout plans over 4 weeks, which were every workout was different. You know, I don't mean like Boso ball squats and, you know, weird stuff on cables and bands and everything, but it was like you would do squats, but like maybe one day it would be like front squats, maybe one day it'd be rear squats, maybe one day it'd be like squat supersets. Front and back squats was always people love that one, you know. So it was always making it different, and I named all the workouts. So every workout in the 4 week block always had a name. Like I had like flex capacitor for arms, stuff like that. So I always made it interesting for the clients, and that way on a 4 week rotation, we were still looking for the bodybuilding, because that was what I was coaching, was bodybuilding, you know, fat loss. We were still towards that goal, but after 4 weeks, it's like, right, we've done turn up the volume, because that was one group. Let's do gain five on the next one. And that worked really well. People were like, yeah, okay, I'll fancy just something different for the next 4 weeks. And they were always very interested in moving towards that goal.
Like that, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we don't have it as specific as that, but we definitely have like some of my training programs and days are named as well. Not on everyone's, but on some of them. And then also like cycles, that definitely is part of it. I think for me, it ties into... right at the start, like if we establish like the clear goals and expectations from the start, and how we would do that is by basically we build a roadmap and show the client where they're going to be at certain points. And then if they can see that before they start, it helps retention, because they can see, okay, at this point, or I'm going to work on this here, I'm going to be looking to build towards this point, and they can get real good sense of where they're going to future pace themselves to be. And if you don't have something like that, it's very hard for someone to visualize that just from talking to you. So we would build this out and have an actual physical document that you can show a client and take them through it. And it helps huge retention. It also helps to get people to actually sign up in the first place. And like that buy-in goes straight up, because they're like, yeah, really excited to get into this. So I think having that from the start, yeah, it was a big thing for us. And it's something that we go through with all the coaches in here as well. So that's definitely one I would have.
We talked about roadmaps before, haven't we? And like obviously showing like where they are now, where they need to be. And obviously the gap in between, that's where your work happens, isn't it? To give them the transformation. I think especially for workouts as well, because initial programming for like really specific stuff, like someone wants to, you know, be a powerlifter or something like that, but then that's probably not people who would come into our circle. We're working with, or we worked with, mostly sort of general population people, and what I found was that I would have like workouts set up for, say, I did like a push pull legs variant with a bodybuilding tilt. And I said, well, when we're doing that, we're focusing on making stronger. Yeah, there's less volume, but there's more focus on the sort of big compounds. And then once we've done like 4 weeks of that, then we're going on to volume because that's going to build more muscle and the strength will help with that. And then we're going to go on to this, then we're going to go on to this. And people could then, like you said, see that progression through as to, all right, I know I'm going to be doing this, this, and this, and this is going to be the goal, as this is going to be what I'm going to get from doing that. And you're right, it's really important that they understand, they got that buy-in about, why am I doing this? Is it just because the coach is lazy, as in I'm doing 5x5, like 3 times a week?
Yeah.
Or is there actually a goal towards that?
Yeah, because otherwise you can see how someone would easily kind of, maybe not, but like you might have other things going on. But if you've got something like this, it's less about then, okay, what's happening week to week, or like the next payment to the next payment. It's more about, here's the process that we're working on and here's what you're going to go through. And then it's more likely for people to probably stay longer.
Yeah. We always had the, and this might, you know, we might interpret this as like a sort of sneaky thing. It wasn't intended that way, but we would always have the consultation about the next month just before the next payment was due. And I mean, that's just the way it happened, because obviously they paid and then he'd done 4 weeks and they were paid for another 4 weeks. That's just the way it happened. But it did help buy in with people. And that's something I still do now with all my clients, is after every 4 weeks, you know, we have like at least one meeting a week. And it's normally at the end of the 4 week cycle. And we said, right, let's look at the weight, how you're looking, how you're feeling, strength, etc. What's the plan for the next 4 weeks? And we pick the program that's perfect for that. And then change the diet if we need to, habits, that sort of thing. And then they've got another plan for 4 weeks, rather than, you know, if you're looking at like a long 6 month goal, that's a long time to look at it, isn't it? And to see that, visualize that goal at the end is a long time.
Yeah, but it's breaking it down, isn't it? And those cycles do that really well. So yeah.
Great. Absolutely. Cool. Okay. Right, you go.
That was my one.
Was that you? Yeah, that was a development of mine. You cheated.
Well, I can go again.
I think we both developed each other's ideas.
I'll go if you want. I'll go. Community, like developing a community, big aspect of retention, because I'm sure people would have heard, oh, they come for the training, stay for the community. But yes. There is truth in that. So if you can build a community aspect around what you do in your program and your coaching, people do form connections, and depending on what kind of coaching you do, there's different ways of building that community. Like I know people who have, we've got like a Facebook group, for example, but some other coaches just use WhatsApp. Some have separate platforms. Even like the in-person element of this, it all adds into that community aspect if you can do stuff that cements that bond. And we've definitely had clients sort of form their own friendships over the years and things. I think that's really, really important way of not only improving retention rates, but building the whole brand ethos and the position of that brand as well is seen differently with that.
Yeah, case in point here is during lockdown, I had in my Facebook group, because obviously everybody couldn't get to gyms in lockdown. So I started running these things called Get the Kettle On, which was like basically a kettlebell circuits program from your living room. And I did that on a Monday and Friday morning at 6 o'clock. And when I started doing them, I forgot how unfit I was. And some of the early videos are still on YouTube, and I'm absolutely dying towards the end. It's quite comical. It's absolutely blowing out. But the obviously only needed one kettlebell to do the class, and it was very circuits based. You didn't even need a heavy one. So all the people who were in my coaching then, they would log on to Facebook Live at 6 o'clock on a Monday and Friday, and basically, I was sort of like, we'd have a little bit of a chat at the beginning. How's everyone ready to start? And then we'd go for 20 minutes. And yeah, at the end, we had a little bit of a conversation afterwards. And it was always the chat for the next day or so was about that. Yeah. And it really, and I think during lockdown, that was something that people were really missing, is that community.
Yeah. Yeah. It came more apparent, didn't it, through that period? Because I definitely had all kinds of emotions, like when that happened. I wasn't expecting it, I'll be honest. And then I was like, fuck, this is like, I felt really responsible for these people who like couldn't then maybe access gyms and stuff. But anyway, they all came together, and it was like one of the best times, hands down, one of the best times. Getting people involved in just stuff through the community group, and we've got like lockdown t-shirts made and things like that. So kind of, it was all cool. But funny you mentioned your kettlebell thing, because I was speaking to a coach the other day, and I can't fucking remember who it was, and because we were chatting. And I think he knew you through like all the stuff we do together and that. And he was like, he said the first time he saw you was when you were doing your live kettlebell thing during lockdown. Like he said, he used to see them come up on his feed, and he'd see it. He's like, but impacted. Yeah,
they got some really good views. And we also did, because obviously we had the gym as well. So we did live workouts from the gym, and they were horrible as well. So we stopped filming them live after a bit, because a couple of times, like the PTs and me would be like proper, like always thrown up afterwards, because we miscalculated how tough the workout was. So we stopped doing them live, and then just did them, recorded them just in case. And they were really good. It was all like body weight or whatever. But the feedback from gym members during that time was, this is great. No other gym's doing this. You know, and we did it for free. You know, anybody, you didn't even have to be a gym member. You could log on to the Ministry of Fitness YouTube channel and watch these workouts and do them, obviously. And it's part of the reason why we had such a really good rebound when we reopened. We had loads of new members who'd actually picked us up from doing the live workouts, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. People won't forget, will they?
Yeah. No. No, and it's something that's always, and I think also if you do develop your community, there is sometimes a sense of are they doing it for the money? Sometimes, you know, when you talk to people, if you can develop a good community, it becomes less about, oh, he's just after, or she's just after money, and more about, I'm really happy to pay money for this because it's a really good time for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's obvious sometimes when it's been done for the wrong reasons. But yeah, definitely a huge thing to build into your coaching service. That's it. That's my one.
Okay, cool. What did I have down here? Oh, yes. I had progression. So, which might seem obvious because we want clients to progress, but there should be in your product or service ecosystem a way for people to progress through. So, and this might be just very simple, such as workouts. So for example, if someone came to me, I don't work with complete beginners, as in never picked up a weight before, but if someone would have come to work with me who was, say, hadn't trained for a few years, they wouldn't get the Gain 5 program, because that'd be like full on hardcore bodybuilding program that'd probably kill them, which is not a good idea. So right at the start, I would have like a full body workout routine, which was still taxing. And if you did it as an experienced trainer, it would be taxing, but it was enough for them to get a decent workout. And then after they'd done that for a couple of weeks, we then progress on and progress on and progress on. So they could see how they move through, and their roadmap was different because they were starting from almost nothing and then progressing upwards. So there was always that vision in sight of, right, once I finish this, what I'm then getting, my next challenge is this.
Yeah.
Which is different to what we just talked about at the beginning in terms of having the roadmap, because those people might already be at a certain level and they just need guidance in terms of their training and nutrition. This would people first almost progress upwards in their skill and strength.
Yeah, yeah. Having those kind of like checkpoints or milestones, isn't it, almost, to keep people going? So because you'll no doubt have like your weekly check-ins or whatever you want to call them, updates, but that implies that they become like part of this thing. So the check-in process can become a little bit like monotonous because it is that thing that happens all the time. But if you had a milestone where you achieve this thing, it's almost like celebrating. And that for me was one of my next points, was like celebrating success. So I'm kind of segueing.
celebrating success. Yeah.
Having points where you, or whether that's done in a separate way or whatever it is, but celebrating the successes in some format or another is really important, I think, from a retention point of view. Because I know that sometimes people might feel a little bit like if they see someone who's achieved something, it can make them feel maybe negative in some way, because they're like feeling that they might. So it has to be done in the right way. But we shouldn't shy away from still sharing the successes that happen, I think, because that's like, that builds confidence in not only that person, but in everyone around it. And if you, if you're doing it the right way, it can only help to then move people on. But
I think the way around, well, not around that, but a way to help that is to when you're onboarding a client, is to make sure you've got your SMART goals set up as to what you're going to measure in terms of what's a success for them.
Yeah.
So for example, you know, someone who's 30 kilos, I'm not saying it's easier, but losing 5 kilos is more likely to happen in a quicker time frame than someone who's not got 30 kilos, got 2 kilos to lose, for example. Yeah. So, and where the perception there is, oh, they've lost 5 kilos, I've only lost 0.5 kilo, they're doing better than me. And so, well, hold on, you only had 2 or 3 kilos to lose at the beginning. So it's a harder proposition for you to lose that much weight than it is for that person, because they've got, you know what it's like when someone's massively overweight, just doing some exercise and restricting calories a little bit is going to have a significant effect on their weight at the first time. But someone who is just looking to lose that last little bit, say get ready for holiday or something like that, they're going to look at the scales and go, 0.5 kilo? That's rubbish. And they get down because it's only 0.5 kilo. And actually, look at the photos. Look at how you look after 0.5 kilo. So yeah, it's important that those SMART goals are set up to really highlight. And I get this a lot with women as well, because women will fluctuate a lot due to like menstrual cycles and, more water retention, that sort of thing. So they fluctuate a lot. Or I've had women who don't lose any weight at all, but do look better, which is crazy. But a lot of people just focus on the scales. So it's important to say, well, what are we actually looking at for results here, rather than what, just the scales, for example.
I've had that with strength progression as well. And again, funnily enough, in female clients, because they will look at someone and go, oh, how are they able to be that strong? It's the same, almost the same thing where you're like, we don't know the circumstances around that. How long have they been training for? Like, what's their training like? And genetic wise as well, like you could go down the whole rabbit hole with it, but I've definitely had that as well. But then again, it just probably brings us back to how these things are positioned, and also like what you talk about around this stuff as well. Because if you are explaining that, you know, it's easier for some people to lose weight in certain situations, or for some people to be stronger, like and then as long as that context is there, hopefully it's all right.
And I think that's the thing, is making sure that the in order to sort of get the clients buy-in, is that the clients are educated properly, as in we are educating them properly.
Yeah.
There are a lot of coaches, and this is more from bodybuilding land, but I know there are coaches in like normal, everyday coaching land as well, who say, just trust the process. I'm the coach, trust what I say. And like normally, because they haven't got an answer, they're like, oh, he just asked me a question I'm not really sure of. I'm going to tell him I'm the coach, just trust the process, and then hope things work out, hope things improve.
Get out of the jail card, isn't it? You got to trust the process, man.
Right. Yeah. You just don't want it enough.
All right, but calorie deficit, trust the process.
Yeah. I'm not losing weight, just less carbs, more cardio.
It's easy, man.
But I think that education is really important. And I know that you have on your program, like educational videos, which you've put so people can understand certain things about nutrition. I've put out like nearly 300 videos on YouTube about different topics.
Yeah.
And part of that was the fact that when anyone asked me a question, say in the coaching, I did a video about that. So yeah. Here's a quick explanation, but go and watch this video. It's got a deep explanation.
Yeah.
So maybe a little, sorry, go on.
Sorry, man. I was going to say that could be another thing from a retention point of view, is having these like value add places where you've got either some extra content or you've got like all your YouTube video library, and that enhances the whole experience of the client. But I think you have to admit these days that, because it is getting a busier and busier space, you have to do these things to then be able to provide more. Because it's gone in the days where you could just take a spreadsheet and just send it to everyone, not even cross the name out, and like I didn't do that. I know if people have done it.
Yeah, okay, mate. Other people did that, not me.
Yeah, but these days are moving on, which is a good thing. We should be embracing this, and also it makes everyone better at what they do, and then everyone, like the industry as a whole, should become better. But I'm sure it still does happen in some contexts, but having these extra things is only going to make you stand out more as a coach, plus your retention rates improve as well.
Yeah, and I think the big caveat there is that those features must have benefits as well. So you know, when people talk about, I've got like 1,000 recipes in my thing, that's not a massive benefit. It's just something that people can access if they want to. It's not something that's going to get the clients over the line. You know,
no one's ever looked at or made in their life.
Yeah, it's well, actually, we did have during lockdown. This was we had like a weekly recipe thing. So I posted a couple of recipes for my things, and then like people would create them, as because they had nothing to do in lockdown, so it's something to do. But yeah, I mean, those things are there. They're there as options, but they must have a benefit. So it's no point having, I can't think of something that people's not going to use. As a benefit of your, as a feature of your coaching, because people are just going to go, wow, they don't lose anything by not being on your coaching.
Yeah. Do you remember through lockdown, everyone suddenly started baking? I like baking banana bread and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, only because they've got nothing else to do. It's like, as soon as you got go back to everything's normal, I'm not doing that. I'll just buy it from the shop. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I did a lot of baking during lockdown. A lot of eating as well. Ways not want not.
Yeah, I've got massive during the lockdowns. It's a great time. Training and got massive.
Well, I was in the fortunate situation, of course, of having my own sort of home gym, like a 5-minute drive away from my house.
Yeah.
It's funny how many friends I didn't know I had when lockdown happened. You know, who wanted to really help me by buying all my gym kit to help me out?
Yeah, help you out.
Help me. Yeah, oh, Tom, I know that, you know, you're really, you know, financially struggling now because the gyms are shut. But, you know, if you want to sell all your barbells for £2, I'd be happy to help you out.
I always said I'd take the Cybex hack squat. If it's one bit of kit, that'd be it. But then I'd need a freaking cherry pickers.
Yeah, they're not light. Okay, cool. So we've done variation, we've done roadmaps, we've done increasing client buy-in. The one thing I was going to discuss, which sort of relates to what we were talking about just now, was having something called products for clients. Now, that's a term from Dent. They use this for their business coaching. And products for clients is, imagine you've got your core product. So that's your coaching. Yeah. And they also have something called product for prospects, which is basically lead magnets. Yeah. So you have your core product, and then you also have something called products for clients. Now, this is something that only your clients can buy, hence the name. But it means that you've got a higher chance of selling it to them because they're your clients and they've already bought from you. So in terms of a coaching sense, this would be a photo shoot, like transformation. It might be getting ready for a holiday, like focus group, something like that. Whatever your niche is, there's a time restricted thing which you can offer them, which would be like something only they can buy. So you'll have everyone doing the coaching, and then, oh, who wants to do a photo shoot? And obviously that would tie in with the core product, because you'd have to adjust their plans and stuff. But it's something extra. And obviously, you have to pay money for the photo shoot, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's something extra to give people a motivational boost. Another thing you could do would be, like, if you're going to go run a marathon or do, like, a 10K or an Ironman or something other else completely stupid and painful, something like that, which is all like a group challenge you could all do. That sort of thing does work quite nicely.
Yeah, getting people invested. Well, they're already invested, aren't they? But it's like other stuff. I'm trying to think of stuff that we've done similar to that. We've definitely had things. I think we had events as well, but like almost like if our own sort of personal, what do you call them? Events that weren't open to anyone else. So we kind of put them.
Or like your ones you do for at the cricket grounds, you know, that's a product for clients
as well.
It?
We have that. We also have, they get access to, so like a good example recently is like Ella with her latest psychology course, like that was all access to the coaches in here before anyone else could get to it. So yeah, there are things like that that we try and do. Yeah, I don't think we've done much more with that though. But yeah,
so something we've done at the gym is the we have like a twice a year deadlift competition, and it's only open to gym members. So you can only, and you, it's not like you can buy a day pass and do it. It's only, but as soon as we release it, it's only people who are members on the day that can actually compete. And that's worked really well, because although it doesn't cost them anything, so we're not making more money off them. And we get a load of prizes from like Samson and all our people we work with, and that's the prize pot. So they always get like a really nice like stuff to take away, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but they do. So go on.
Say they do that at one of my gyms, which is an independent kind of bodybuilding gym. And I always said they should have a natural and untested like versions. It's not fair.
we worked it before on we put a certain multiplier on, because the first time we did it was just about how heavy you could lift, and then the second time we ran it that we put in more stipulations, because the first time we ran it, someone who was obviously just jacked like won the whole thing. And very good lift, obviously, you know, deserving of the win. But then people are like, well, I'm not going to do it if he's doing it again, because I'm not got a chance of winning. So we edited it the second time. So it was based on like, you know, your experience, your weight, all that sort of stuff. It's a nice social event. We do like a like barbecue and stuff like that at the same time. And it really did work well.
I was going to say, like, they one of them, it was I think it was a bench press one. But they ordered in Domino's, and the actual delivery driver's come in.
Really?
And they've got him on the bench. He's like, whilst he's delivering all the pizzas, and they've obviously got people doing photography and videography for their event. And getting spotted with his Domino's uniform on. It's fucking brilliant.
That's awesome. We had the fire service turn up for the last one. Nice. And something close to your heart. And then we like spraying the hose all over the car park, and that was mint.
Yes. Did you get to go in the fire engine?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. What? No, I'm too big to ride in the cabin with a hat on. those sorts of things like retention, it doesn't have to be online. It can be in person events. And I think in person events, especially now like all the COVID stuff's gone, that really does help with because again, you're introducing everybody, developing that community aspect of things again.
Yeah, definitely. I was chatting to someone the other day about in-person events being like when you have an in-person event, there was a percentage in terms of then what that meant for people to actually make more. So from a business perspective, so people actually turning up at the in-person events. I don't know what study they were asked to find out. I'll ask her, but she was saying that there's the direct correlation between people who attended the in-person events and made more money in their business because they turn up to the in-person events. So again, one study, but right.
I certainly agree with that, because when I used to go to the Dent group that we had is in London. So it's a massive, like, you know, get on the train, 2 hours journey, then the tube, then the day, and then get on the tube and then get on the train coming back. So like, it's a massively full on day on a Friday as well. But I always had a boost to what I was doing, like motivational boost to my business after that.
Yeah, I definitely feel it. All right. So, do more in person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think this is something that people, if they're online coaches, you know, maybe don't sort of get, is that even though you're online, doesn't mean you can't have in-person events.
Nah, they're the best as well. I much prefer in-person stuff. Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, we've covered a fair bit. Have you got anything else on your list?
No, I think a lot of them are covered in there. The only other one was like around, which goes without saying, really, like regular touch points throughout that time period, which you're going to have if you're doing all these things anyway. You're going to have those touch points to make sure people, like, I always think about it, you know, you've got your regular ones, like your check-ins or whatever happens. Maybe you've got like group calls or you do live Q&As or whatever, but it's also good sometimes to have maybe some ones that aren't scheduled as such. So it kind of like things that just that happen unannounced, because it's those ones sometimes that people might reply to, or like something pops up and they don't expect it. I think they're quite good to have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like random Facebook lives, that sort of thing.
Yeah. 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 And like sometimes we've got a little bit of a sequence that people go through, and then there's some just emails that go out and they're literally like, hey, so and so, like, how are you getting on? Basically, just to see how people are. Yeah.
Loads of white space.
Sent from my
Yeah. Sent from my iPhone, loads of space, unsubscribe.
Oh, man.
Getting those gurus hacks in.
There's some terrible stuff going on with emails at the moment for another talk, but
let's do that on another one.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Okay. Just the final thing, Dan, where can people contact you?
Oh, here. Strong Collective.
Strong Collective.
Yeah, Dan, Strong Collective, yeah.
And for me, it's Tom Blackman. No. Yeah, Tom Blackman Coach on YouTube and Instagram. That's probably the best place. Website's still under construction. Great, Dan, I'll see you next week, and hopefully there'll be a little Dan in tow somewhere.
Yeah. See what happens.
Great. Okay, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye. Bye-bye.